First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 11th, 2022. John chapter 14. Comforting Disciples.
Please rise and join me in reading John 14, 1 through 2. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. You may be seated.
Many people are disappointed with this translation because what's the change? There's not a reference to a mansion, but we'll explain it as we go. Room is more appropriate rendering of the verse. In my Father's house are many rooms. Jesus was comforting the disciples in John 14, 1 through 6. After high school, Brandon Yates, that's who the picture of, Brandon Yates became an electrician. Finally, when he became a master electrician, Yates founded KC1, an electrical service company based in Kansas City, obviously, Missouri. Yates said, quote, "Craftsman is a lost word in our day," end quote. He aims to challenge that by recruiting hard-working high school graduates with an aptitude for making things. KC1's apprenticeship program provides on-the-job training and certifications for one or two young electricians each year. Quote, "Society teaches that these kids will become losers if they become electricians. My job is to unteach them," unquote. The perception that the trades offer less status and money and demand less intelligence is one likely reason young people have turned away from careers in the trades for several generations. In Yates School District, officials recently shuttered the entire shop class program. I enjoyed shop class. Scholar Mike Rose says, quote, "In our culture, the craftsman is a muscled arm, sleeve rolled up tight up against the biceps, for no thought, no thought behind the eye, thinking," unquote. It's assumed they're thinking as for the office, not the shop. However, Scripture identifies Jesus himself as a, Greek word, technon. In Mark 6:3, literally craftsman, or one who works with his hands. So, we think it's high time to challenge the tradesman stereotype and to rethink the modern divide between white collar and blue collar, office and shop, in light of the divine craftsman who will one day make all things new. Most college graduates have had little, if any, training in repairing a leaky toilet or hardwiring in a smoke detector. For an awful lot of college graduates, without help, their pipes would be forever clogged. Without reintegrating the trades back into the liberal arts, we will perpetuate the falsehood that plumbers, electricians, and other skilled laborers are somehow less intelligent. If there is a renaissance in craftsmanship, it should be welcomed by Christians. After all, we looked for a day when we will inhabit a house Jesus has built, a richly prepared room that owes its beauty to a single creator and laborer. We read it, this is John 14, 2. We need to contrast at first the difference between John chapter 13 and earlier with John chapter 14 through 17. Chapter 13 ended with a word of Jesus addressed to Peter, to him alone. Chapter 14 begins with words addressed to the entire company of the apostles. Chapter 13 contains a narrative and dialogue. Chapters 14 through 16 contain discourses, teaching lessons of Jesus. While in the 38 verses of chapter 13, Jesus is interrupted no less than six times. In the 91 verses of chapters 14, 15, and 16, he is interrupted only four times. The subject matter of chapter 13 is miscellaneous. Chapters 14, 15, and 16, and 17, we'll see, have each one central theme. Verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I love that picture of the heart because if you can't tell it, it has the words of stress, anxiety, panic mentioned. The thought is, do not begin to be troubled, but stop being troubled. In other words, Jesus is commanding the disciples to stop worrying. Do not be troubled any longer. He exhorts them to no longer be troubled, tempest-tossed, agitated, and thrown into a state of confusion. The hearts of the disciples were filled with a medley of emotions. They were sad. Why? Because of the gloomy prospect of Christ's departure by death. Ashamed because of their own demonstrated selfishness and pride when no one was willing to wash each other's feet. Perplexed because of the prediction that one of their own, one of the disciples, would betray the master, that another would deny him. They were wavering in their faith and probably thinking, how can one who is about to be betrayed be the Messiah? In my Father's house are many, and the word is rooms. Trust me, it should be translated as rooms. If there that were not so, I would have told you, because I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And that picture is a accurate picture of what heaven will be like. Rooms. The Father's house does not resemble a tenement house, individual houses. But on the contrary, it is more like a beautiful apartment building or condominium. Pick your favorite condo with a penthouse and such, with ever so many completely furnished and spacious apartments or dwelling places, and no crowding of any kind. I think we'll, in the future, all have a residence in the New Jerusalem, which is a, it looks like a porn cube, but it's a golden color and giant. I can't describe it much more, but it's floating above the New Jerusalem and will somehow, I don't know how, be able to travel from our heavenly cube to the earth and walk around. I don't know. Jesus didn't tell us if we'll need a shuttlecraft or we'll directly transport. But we'll somehow be able, I've heard it, we'll be able to travel at the speed of thought. I don't know. But somehow we'll be able to go back and forth. In other words, Jesus says, if in my Father's house there were not plenty of room for all God's children, I certainly would have told you all about it so that I would have told you so. That flies in the face of people who will say there's only 144,000 who will go to heaven. By means of my humiliation and exaltation, I prepare a place for you. This is, Jesus says, my mission. Without my death, there would be no place for you. Without my ascension and the sending forth of my Spirit, you would not be made ready for the place. And if, since I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there will you be also. Observe that instead of saying that what might expect him to say, Jesus says something that is far more comforting. I will take you to myself. The word face is built on the proposition with in the Greek language. So when we say the word was with God, the word was face to face with God. That's what it means. So literally, we will be face to face in our experience with Jesus. So wonderful is Christ's love for his own that he is not satisfied with the idea of merely bringing them to heaven. He must needs take them into his own embrace. And he stresses the face-to-face aspect. We'll get to see our Lord and Savior in the flesh. The verb translated, and will take you, has here the sense of welcoming someone. It infers that we'll not only be taken with Jesus as part of a group, but I think he will individually welcome every believer that goes to heaven, because time after the thousand-year kingdom and the remaking of the heavens and the earth will have no meaning. Time has a limited sense, because in eternity past, there's the Father, Son, and Spirit, and the angels. He had to create time on the first day. I think time will have no more significance after the thousand-year reign and kingdom of Christ. Will be in eternity future. The comfort contained in this passage, 14:3, was by the early Christians applied to the death of dear ones. That where I am, you also will be. In other words, wherever Christ is, there too are the believers. And you know the way where I am going. Jesus means, you know me. He would later say, I am the way. The statement is an invitation to come to Christ. Come to the Father by means of this way. Up until this moment, 14, 1, 2, and 3, Jesus had spoken about what he was going to do for his disciples. He was going to prepare a place for them individually and as a group, and to come again to receive them to himself. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way where you are going. How do we know the way? In saying this, Thomas may be probably regarded as the spokesman of the group. The disciples were lost in their thinking. The one who actually said what most or all were thinking. He committed two errors when he said that. He may have thought that Jesus was referring to his departure in death. Or he imagined that the Lord was speaking about the way in which he was about to take. Jesus was actually referring to the way the disciples must take to reach their destination, as is evident in the last part of John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I am the way. Jesus does not merely show the way. He is himself the way. It is true that he teaches the way in Mark 14:12 and Luke 20:21, guides us in the way, Luke 1:79, and has dedicated for us a new, a living way. Hebrews 10:20 says that. All this is possible only because he himself, individually, is the way. I am. We are saved not by a principle or a force, but by a person. We are saved by an individual, God in the flesh, the Son. The means of access to the Father is Christ himself. We are persons. The God from whom we have been estranged is a personal God. God is all about relationships. It is not strange that apart from living fellowship with the person, Jesus Christ, who exists in indissoluble union with the Father, there is no salvation for us. For us. We have comfort. Verse 1. Continue to trust in God. Also in me continue to trust. Let not your hearts any longer be troubled. Verse 2. My departure is for the purpose of preparing everything with a view to the blessed reunion in the Father's house with his many mansions. Verse 3, I use the word mansion for everything you can think of. Is there a gym? I don't know. A pool? I don't know. Verse 3, I am coming again and will take you to be face to face with me. Verses 4 through 6. Although my visible presence will be withdrawn, I will ever remain for you the only way to the Father, the way and the truth and the life. You know this book? On Beyond Zebra. This morning I want to launch us into the message with a reading of one of the great minds of theology, Dr. Seuss. I have a picture here of a dog-eared copy of On Beyond Zebra, one of my favorite Dr. Seuss books, because I'll read a selection of it. And be sure to listen closely, because this is the key to everything I want to say. Said Conrad Cornelius O'Donnell Odell, my very young friend who was learning to spell, A is for ape, the B is for bear, the C is for camel, the H is for hare, the M is for mouse, the R is for rat. I know all the 26 letters like that. Though Z is for zebra, I know them all well, says Conrad Cornelius O'Donnell Odell. Now I start everything because anyone knows from the beginning, from the end, from the start to the close, because Z is as far as the alphabet goes. Then he almost fell flat on his face on the floor when I picked up the chalk and drew one letter more. A letter that he had never dreamed of before. I said, you can stop it if you want to with the Z, and most people stop with the Z, but not me. In the places I go, there are things that I see that I never could spell if I stopped with the Z. I'm telling you this because you're one of my friends. My alphabet starts where your alphabet ends. My alphabet starts with this letter called Yez. It's the letter I use to spell Yezabetez. You'll be sort of surprised when there was to be found once you go beyond Z and start poking around. So on beyond zebra, explore like Columbus. Discover new letters like Wum, which was for Wumbus. My house-spouting whale, who lives on high hill and who never comes down till it's time to refill. So on beyond Z, it's high time you were shown that you never know it all until there was to be known. And if you want to hear the rest of it, see me afterward, and I'll arrange a private reading for you. This morning, would you join me on a journey on beyond zebra? Because that's where you'll find Christmas. On the first Christmas, God added a new letter to our alphabet in the virgin birth. Why? Because we need that new letter to spell Emmanuel, which means God with us. So if you're looking for Christmas, I invite you to join me on a journey beyond zebra.